Homily for Monday, the 25th of April. What I'd like to do this Monday is do what I did last Monday. Last Monday, I repeated the sermon I had given Easter Sunday. And today, I'd like to repeat my sermon from yesterday's 11:30 liturgy. And my reason for doing this is not just efficiency. During major feasts and liturgical seasons, the Church usually selects readings for the Sunday liturgy that really highlight what's being celebrated in that liturgical season. And that's especially true in the Easter season. Through the selection of readings for Sunday, the Church keeps pointing to the sacred mystical reality of resurrection. What does it mean for us to say Christ is risen? So the following homily, which I gave yesterday, is my attempt to help us understand a little better the mystery of Christ's risen new life, and also to understand a little better the mystery of our new risen life in Christ. So the following is that homily. We call the Apostle Thomas, Doubting Thomas. We mean he was not up to the standard of the other disciples. Thomas was not supposed to question what the others were saying about their experience of the risen Jesus. The better thing would have been for him to simply swallow whole what they were saying. I think we've given Thomas a bum rap. And I think we've misunderstood what the evangelist John is trying to tell us in this scene. He's trying to show us through Thomas how we come to faith, how we come to know the risen Lord Jesus. So for John, this Doubting Thomas should be our model of faith. So let's look again at what happens in this scene. The disciples have three basic experiences. First, they experience a presence other than themselves. It's an experience of true personal otherness, not made up, not concocted by them or by their circumstances. It's a presence they find, not invent. But this presence is also identified with Jesus. Yet, it's a presence of Jesus unlike any they had known. It's unpredictable, uncontrollable, and difficult at times to recognize. It's a presence that shows up suddenly and just as suddenly goes away. The second experience is that this Jesus wants shalom for them. He wants peace, fullness of life and goodness for the very disciples who had deserted him. For the disciples, this is an experience of Jesus who does not hold on to their sins. It's an experience of forgiveness. Their desertion of him does not stop Jesus' love for them. Then comes their third experience. Jesus breathes into them his own spirit, shares with them his spirit of forgiving love that does not hold on to the sins of others. And he sends them to live out of this spirit. They are to live lives that will cause confusion and wonder as they return good for evil, practicing mercy, practicing God's own forgiving love. What's happening is that the disciples are becoming church. They are becoming the community of sinners who are forgiven and are learning to forgive. Thomas now finds himself in the company of these people. He has not shared their experience of being forgiven by the Lord, and he says so. He's honest about his experience. But there's something else about Thomas. His honest disagreement with members of the community doesn't cause him to bolt the community. He sticks around. So here's Thomas, surrounded by people who have experienced the forgiveness of their sins, and they're learning ever so gradually to forgive one another. Thomas continues to be honest to his own experience. He begins to recognize in the behavior around him a familiar pattern and a familiar presence. It's the very same spirit he had seen at work in Jesus' ministry. Thomas now recognizes that same spirit at work in the disciples he's with. It's the spirit of the Lord Jesus. When he says, "My Lord and my God," Thomas is using the precise formula used by Romans to swear allegiance to the emperor, calling him my Lord and my God. But when Thomas says these words, he is handing himself over to the Spirit of Jesus, to God's own Spirit. He is handing himself over to be transformed into new life, into Jesus' own new life. Resurrection is something we participate in from within, and not just something we observe from without. We will spend a lifetime learning the depth of our own forgiveness and the extent to which we are called and empowered to forgive others. That's our hoped-for future as church. That's our risen life together. It's here among us that we will come to know the risen Lord. We will come to recognize and celebrate the presence and power of the risen Lord Jesus among us as we become people through whom God's mercy is freely given. And so we pray the ancient Aramaic prayer of our church, Maranatha, our Lord, come. And in our Eucharist together this day, Jesus will answer our prayer.